some of the biggest barriers from truly walking and operating in this gift is emotions, pride, and fear. When, you know, when somebody finds out I'm a seer or I operate in discerning of spirits, probably 9 times out of 10, they want to tell me how great they are and that they're seers. And I understand the maturity of developing the gift. And oftentimes they're like, I do this, but my pastor doesn't understand. And, you know, I see this and they won't do anything. And I try to teach people, okay, you have the gift, but you're operating it in your flesh. You haven't trained to flip over to your spiritual eyes. You're seeing because you see, you're a seer, you know, just like you're right-handed or left-handed. But when you truly haven't developed the gift, and oftentimes seers have pride. I don't know what it is about them, but they're just like, I'm a seer. You're not special. Let me tell you something. You're not special. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you know what? The Holy Ghost gave it to you. You can't earn it. So, and it's just one small gift, part of the body. We all have gifts. You're not the only one that has a gift. So sometimes they feel like, oh, I'm not being treated. My gift isn't valued. Well, really, the gift is between you and the Holy Ghost. You're not to shame people and do, you know, deliverance on people. Oftentimes when God shows me stuff, it's for me to pray through behind the scenes. You know, when there's meetings going on, there's stuff going on all the time in the meetings. Oftentimes, I'll just be like praying in tongues, watching what's going on in the room, making sure people receive what they're supposed to get. And I'll share on that in a little bit. So I guess the biggest thing I'd say about people who were born with the gift, again, you're not special. It's a gift, and you haven't developed it yet. You're operating it out of your flesh, and there's a better way where the power of God manifests and mountains move by the words you speak. And so the enemy actually likes when you operate in the flesh in this gifting because you're powerless. You know, you just cause problems. And you actually bring, you know, you almost bring like a bad word to the gifting because you don't represent it as a king or king, you know, an heir to the kingdom. You're just kind of like, I'm a little kid and I got this gift and I'm great. And why don't they recognize me? You know, it's funny. To watch. But it's hard to deal with people like that because they truly think they're special. And so I'm saying this because we're recording. And when people are seers and they don't know what to do, I want them to check. Okay, are you operating in the flesh? Or are you truly being moved by the Spirit of God? Are you connected with the Holy Spirit? Are you listening? Okay, Lord, I see, you know, I see that thing in the back room. What do you say? What do you want me to do? Or are you like, I see that thing and come out in the name of Jesus. You know, flesh versus spirit. What are we doing now, God? And so when years ago, when the gift started bubbling, one of my early churches I'd go to, you know, I'm an intercessor also. I love to pray. God put that in me. It's, you know, it's a gift. And I'm not special. but I use the gift. And when I would used to, like, when the gift was opening up, I would, like, be around people and I would just know. I'd look at them and I'd go, oh, that person just beat his wife yesterday, or oh, that one's got alcoholism. Oh, that one is stuck on, you know, pornography. Oh, that one's doing heroin. You know, I would just know. I could see the spirits operating in the people. And I didn't know what to do with it. And so when I saw that, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. I was just saved. And so I didn't know what to do. So I would just pray in English quietly to myself. I would never go up to somebody and say, oh, I see you have an issue with pornography. Or, oh, you beat your wife last night. Or, oh, you lie all the time. You know, I wouldn't say anything. I'd be like, I don't know what to do about this. You know, because I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the connection. I couldn't hear the voice of God. And so I would just be like, I would pray for them. You know, I would just be like, Lord, I'm lifting up so-and-so. I don't know what to pray, but I know you know the answer. Lord, I'm asking you to help them get free. Lord, point them to the direction. I didn't know how to do it back then. And so as once I got filled with the Holy Ghost, then I would just lift it up in tongues. I'd just pray in tongues for that person. And I would watch God unhook stuff in their lives. Oftentimes they wouldn't even know that it was through prayer that they got free. Or he would have me speak something in my, you know, like I'd be praying and then I'd see it. And then he'd say, speak, you know, whatever. And I'd speak it. And then I'd see him later and I'd see that that spirit wasn't on him anymore. And I'd be like, God, you're so good. You know, we don't do it to glorify ourselves. You know, and we do it because we love people. And those were in the days when I really didn't love people, you know. I'm growing in love, you know. So, you know, I used to be very selfish, you know, and you know, very immature in my way only, you know. And as you grow in God, that stuff starts to leave, and it's what's best for your kingdom, Lord. How can we do this? What do you want to do now? And so the type of seer that does damage to the body of Christ is the one who operates out of their flesh and is the one that sees it and brings it to the pastor's attention and then is mad at the pastor because the pastor's not doing anything about it. So if you're doing that, stop. If you're doing that, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do about this situation? And just wait. Wait and pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. So, I'm going to say it again. Seeing or discerning in the spirit, I mean in the flesh, profits nothing. There's no power. It's when you see in the spirit and speak by the spirit, that's when things happen and unhook. So, you may think you're operating in the spirit, but ask the Holy Spirit if you really are. Because if you've always put your shoe on the right foot when you get out of bed, how do you know that you're really being led? I want you to really challenge the Holy Spirit and ask Him to show you and to confirm that you're really operating out of the gifting instead of your flesh. Because your flesh is so strong and dominating, oftentimes you don't realize the true move of the Holy Spirit. And some of you do, but I'm just, like I said, I'm recording, so this is for that. Seers with pride won't take correction or direction from anyone in authority, including the Holy Ghost. So if you struggle with pride, if you think you're a prideful person, ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and mentor, and then submit to whatever He says to do. The dangerous thing about pride and the power is as they grow together, and it causes destruction. You know, it'll birth destruction if you don't submit to the power of God. And so, one thing I know is God always operates out of love and compassion, and He never shames people. And so with this gifting, if you see somebody who's up to no good and you're shaming them, that's not the Holy Ghost. He's always love. Now, He'll warn and correct, but you'll learn the difference as you grow in relationship. So, that's that. So I already told you about my dream. I don't have to tell you that. I'm going to talk a little bit about prophesying. Many people prophesy out of their flesh or their emotion, their soul, and the church has actually encouraged people to exercise this gift, but there needs to be checks in place. And so here's a couple. When you're prophesying, oh, he wants me to share this. You know, because I discern spirit, I can tell when a prophecy is from the Spirit of God or your soul. And sometimes when people prophesy, I've seen this, they'll prophesy, they'll see a picture or they'll get a word from God and they start to speak it and then it stops. There's like a cliff and you can't go any further. But you go further and you interpret or continue on. And then what happens is the hair on my arm stands up and I know that it's your flesh. And God's not mad, but one of my jobs is to help correct. Like I remember a dear friend of mine many years ago was practicing hearing the voice of God and prophesying, and she came up and it's somebody I love, so you know, it's like, you know, do you ever want to tell somebody you love they're prophesying on their flesh? Well, when you live with God, you got to do what He says. And this person came up and said, I feel like the Lord is blah blah blah, and gave this word and then went blah 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 blah, and said, and then she kind of like did one of these, and she goes, was that from God? And I said, the first part was, but the second part was your flesh. That was your emotions. You interpreted and added to. And you know what that person did? She left there and asked the questions to the Holy Spirit. And because she was corrected, she actually is one of the most spot-on people that I know who prophesies now. She's right on, and never adds. I trust the word that she gives all the time. And but because maybe, you know, when she said, you know, I could have said, oh no, that was all God, and lost a friend. But my heart is to grow people in accuracy. You know, that's part of my job. So I had to be honest and say, no, honey, that wasn't it. People come up, you know, they find out, oh, you can tell. Yeah, I can tell. And then they'll start, and then they'll say, no, that you're completely off. That's not God at all. And I don't do it in a mean way. It's to help people tap into the true Spirit of God and not your emotions and your flesh.
Hallelujah.
So it's, and then I don't do it to condemn people. I never condemn. I'm like, not really, you know. No. So does it bear witness? That's one of the signs. When you're prophesying, does it bear witness? And what I mean by that is, does it bear witness? Does what I just said, you know, can you? Does that sound like that's God? And the person will go yes or no, or they'll lie and say no when it really is. I've had that happen too. Okay, is it confirmation to what the Lord has said to you already? Is it fortune telling prophecy? Now, what I mean by that is some people want to be prophesied to because they don't want to go to God. And I had that happen to me. I had a guy come to a meeting. Holly was supposed to be speaking. She was out of town. And the sound person stood up and had the meeting. And this guy did not like me from the second he walked in because he had an expectation. He needed to hear from God. He wanted to hear it from Holly. And the word that God delivered was not the word he wanted to hear. And it was, you know, it was bad. And you know, because I could feel the hostility. I'm a seer. I know he does not like me. I know the word the Lord is releasing, he's not receiving. And he had an agenda. And afterwards, he stormed out of there and was all mad because of the word. And then he came back and demanded that I prophesy the word he wanted to hear. And I'm stymied. And this guy has got anger and he's, you know, it was not fun. You know, I'm like, the blood of Jesus, Lord, help me. Holy Ghost, what do I say? You know, he's a nut and he's in my face. And he was a big guy. He wasn't like a little kid. He was like a man full of anger and rage. And I'm like, Lord, what do you say? And so I gave him this, the Lord loves you, which is true. The Lord loves him. And that's what he wanted to hear, but he wanted to hear it with a punch, you know, and some other stuff. And here's what happened. When I left, and I said to him, I'm so sorry if I offended you. That is not my heart. That, and truly, it wasn't my heart. And when we left there, the next day I was on the lawnmower riding. And see, whenever something happens, I ask the Holy Spirit, what is going on? What just happened? Should I have done something different? I never assume anything. If I'm wrong, correct me. And I've been corrected. And I'm on the lawnmower, and the Lord says to me that he was like putting a quarter in the jukebox, and he wanted to hear a word. And the word he heard was, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And he wanted to hear Love Me Tender. And I laughed and laughed and laughed because, first of all, I don't even know the Elvis song. So, I mean, the Lord, you know, he's very humorous, and I was bothered by it. It bothered my heart because I don't ever want to misrepresent the kingdom of God. And so the Lord was like, honey, you weren't. In fact, Holly wrote a song.
Amen.
Yeah.
We gotta I have a question, though.
Yeah.
So, is someone aware if they're coming to a meeting and they're expecting a very specific, like, God, tell me this? Are they aware that they're doing that?
He was.
So he expected to come in.
He had a false belief system.
Okay.
He, you know, and he was a mess, you know. And I, we love the messy ones, you know. And we want to bring them into truth and correction if they want correction. This guy did not want correction.
Okay.
You know, he wanted Love Me Tender.
Okay.
You know, he wanted me to sing to him. So.
There's a difference between going and expecting and then going and wanting the flesh to hear what you think
yeah.
that person is going to be saying. It's two different, right?
Oh, it is two different. He was
one
demanding.
And one of the world.
Yeah.
So what did you do? You just so when you're in that area, you just rebuke it? Or do you, is it safe to rebuke it? Or is it, do you just say scripture to that? Or how do you, I mean, for me, I would just be like, in the name of Jesus, you must leave. You know, that would be me, you know, because I just won't tolerate things like that.
Yeah, no, what I did was, I could sense through the whole meeting he was not happy. So, you know, I'm quietly, the blood of Jesus, Lord, what's going on here? I'm seeking wisdom. And the Lord's like, it's okay. You know, and if it's okay, it's okay. And it was okay. And you know, God knew, because after the end of the meeting, you know, when he didn't get his word, he was mad and he left mad. And hallelujah, next person. You know, I'm not going to go baby somebody who needs their diaper changed. You know, I'm not the mom. I'm just the deliverer of God's word. So, you know, he wasn't causing a scene, so there was no need to, you know, quiet him down or anything. He had this little fit, and then he left. And I thought he left. But we had some people who were hanging out in the parking lot who saw his attitude, and they started praying in tongues. They were covering it, you know. And God will do that. God will always have protection. And I said, my friend Mary was there that night, and I said, hey, don't leave. I want to talk to you afterwards. She would have left. And so she was there, and I heard her praying in tongues through the whole thing, too. You know, because it was like, you know, it was an escalated case of, you know, a little baby not getting his way. It was a temper tantrum. It was huge. And I was like, I'm not, and I wouldn't engage in it. See, he wanted me to engage, and I wouldn't, because I'm in the spirit. And it was making him mad. He was trying to get me to fight with him, and I'm not. You know, you know, no need. And so I didn't have to tell him to leave. You know, he left on his own, came back, demanded me to give him a sweet word, and I just said, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you. The Lord does love you, and you know, I pray a blessing over you, and that was it. I can't give him something that I don't have. So hence the quarter was a blank for him. So only speak what you see or hear. Anything added is flesh. Ways of seeing. Okay, so here's, I'm just going to start telling myself. Sometimes I see words going into people at the meetings, like oftentimes when Holly's at the keyboard or even standing and prophesying, I actually see the words. And how I see them is sometimes I see them like a dot or a trail. And the picture I have for that is, do you remember the old video games, or a video game that tracks a target and it's like, that's what it looks like. And then I see it go in someone or not go in someone. And if it's supposed to go in someone, oftentimes I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, you know, push that in them or open them, you know, open them, let them see, let them receive it. Sometimes I see an angel deliver the message or help them or pour something on them or whisper in their ear. Oftentimes I see angels just like, you know, touch people or stuff like that. I also see dark and light. I see people in the natural, you know, differently than you guys, than a lot of you. Like, I don't see hair color. I don't see clothes. I see in the spirit. So after the meeting, if somebody said, hey, did you see so-and-so? She was wearing that pink dress. I'd be like, pink dress? No, I don't see that, and I can't. So, you know, that's one thing, is I see dark and light. And I see signs in the sky, open visions. I can't tell if they're a vision or if it's actually happening. It's so real, you cannot tell me that it's not. Like, I see rain in the spirit, snow in the spirit, chariots, angels, demons. I've seen events that look like they've happened, but they haven't. And then I pray them through. I've seen armies in the fields, horses, old battles. And I can't tell that they're not there. Like, I don't have any ability to say that's a vision, because it's so open and so, I mean, the sound and everything. I see hearts. I remember when this opened up, I was in Kenosha, Edgar and Holly had a service. Are we going too long? You guys good? I'm getting close, but we were at a service, and I was like the usher, and it was a healing miracle service. And I remember when this gift opened, I had the ability to see people's hearts. And I don't mean like your red heart like a picture. I actually would see your spiritual heart. And I could see like the condition. I saw like bleeding hearts. I saw healthy hearts. I saw darkness. And I also saw like the positioning of your heart when you were sowing. seed into the, like an offering. And that was, when that opened up, it was kind of freaky because it was like the first time it opened. And oftentimes when something opens or when, you know, because we're to develop the giftings. And so we don't know what that really means. But as we develop the giftings, they open and grow. And so for a while, I didn't like taking offerings because I'd be like, I don't want to know how you think about giving, you know, because it was like, yeah, I would think, oh, this person's surely a giver, and then they'd be like really, you know, dry in that area and almost, you know, dead. And so, but I remember when it opened, and then from there I could see the intent of the heart, like whether they're serious about Jesus or just playing, or you know, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean about serious?
You know, like sometimes people are steeped in sin and darkness, but their heart is pure. They're just in bondage, and they can't, you know, they've opened so many doors, and they're so deceived, but their heart is right, and they want to be free. Now, that's a good heart. But then there's also hearts where they're steeped in bondage and darkness, and they don't want to change, but they're there because they're friend told them to come, or their spouse told them to come, or their brother or sister or neighbor, and so they're coming, and it's not really real. It's they're just doing the actions without true repentance, and so I just know, and so that's what I mean by that.
Okay.
I can see disease in bodies, sometimes dark spots, or sometimes I'll see a light, like God's highlighting an area for healing, or I can actually see like a lung or a body part that needs healing. So my next note says, when in doubt, pray it through until you receive direction. So when you see this stuff, I pray it through. I don't, you know, just because I see like a spot on a lung or, you know, a force, a darkness behind you, I ask the Holy Spirit, do you want me to pray? What do you want me to pray? When do you want me to pray? And how do you want me to pray? And is this person ready for prayer? You know, I don't just assume because I see, like, a sickness. I don't just run over and lay hands and command healing. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I'm just led by the Lord. And I won't go where he tells me not to go, or I just don't. So I don't know if that will help you or not. in the beginning, I saw, like I'd see, then I would intercede, which opened or developed into deeper discernment. God watches to see what you do or how you operate and use the gifts and encourages you to come in deeper through relationship and grow the gifts. You're not special and you're not weird. Oftentimes seers think they're weird and so they don't like to say nothing because they see weird stuff. You see strange things. So exercise or use discretion on what you share and who you share with. I can't say that enough because if you're a seer and you're starting to see and you're seeing stuff, if you share it with somebody who's not going to be able to understand, they're going to call you a weirdo and run away from you. And it might hamper or put a cap on your gifting, which is what the enemy wants. He's the one who's trying to stop it and close it. So Revelation 4:6, also in front of the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal, in the center. Around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. You will see strange things. Think about, okay, when I went swimming with the manatees, I don't know, like a year ago, I was thinking about this. And think about underwater life. From above the water, what you see as you look down into the water is not the same as if you're in the water looking at it.
Yeah.
When you learn how to breathe through a snorkel, it takes time to train your body how to breathe underwater, or you'll end up with a lot of water in your lungs. It's totally different system. The rules are different. What works on the surface doesn't work under the surface. I'm talking about breathing under the water. It's the same concept in the spirit. What works in the natural does not work in the spirit realm. And so you have to grow your spiritual muscles. Counterfeit ways to use the gift. Acts 16:16. It happened that we were going to the place of prayer. A slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. That's an example of counterfeiting the gift. Occult, new age, sorcery, witchcraft, chanting or channeling, astral projection, laying on of dirty hands, and psychic stuff is all counterfeit to what God is doing. Psalm 24 is the measuring stick. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean's depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God their Savior. Now, when this gifting opened, I went to one of Holly's and Edgar's meeting, very first one. I walked in because I am spiritually sensitive. I met Jesus in that place. I saw Jesus, met Jesus, and it changed my life forever. Every time I'd go to one of those services, I'd have supernatural encounters, strange, wonderful experiences in God. God was wooing me, and the gift was opening, and I was like undone, because it was like a habitation of his presence. And so what happened to me is, because of my nature of addiction, which is the counterfeit of what God was doing, I became addicted to the presence. Now, when I say that, I wasn't going to meet Jesus. I was going because it was filled, you know, it was charged. It was a holy place. And I kept going, and stuff was happening, healing, deliverance, pressing in. And then the day came when Jesus said to me, "You're a glory junkie." And I'm like, now any junkie knows if they're a junkie. And I said, "Glory junkie, me?" You know, you can't lie to God. He knows. And I knew when he said it, I'm like, "You're right, I am." He says, "You're after the presence. You're not after me." And at that moment, I made a decision. And I said, "Lord, I am so sorry. If I never go to another meeting, I won't go. I'm not going after this stuff. I'm going after you." And when I made that decision, it changed the course of my life. And what I mean by that is, if I would have said, "I'm not a glory junkie," I would have lied to the Lord. But what would have happened was, I would have been one of those counterfeit ones, going after the glory, probably ended up in witchcraft, probably, because what happens is, the Spirit is wooing us constantly, okay? And this is what happens. You see people who are, they get, you know, God's going to confront us with whatever issue we have, not to punish us, but to bring us to freedom. And he knew my stronghold was, you know, my addiction. I liked a rush. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is a rush. There's no, the first time he flowed through me, I said to myself, "Cocaine's counterfeit. This is the real thing. This is what I've been looking for all my life." And I found it. Now, a junkie would go, "Give me more, give me more. You know, I'm coming back for more." And so I did. But when I felt that, he confronted me with my flesh nature. And what happened was, it caused a spiritual alignment, like a foundation was formed that day. Otherwise, I'd be one of those flighty, fat-headed Holy Ghosters with no substance. You know, hot air. You know, what do they call that?
Hot air.
Hot air. You know, and we see them. I see them, you know. I've had to confront them in love and try to bring them to repentance. And some say, "Yeah," but they continue. Yeah. They continue. And so I say that because, I, you know, really, clean hands and pure heart. Clean hands and pure heart. That's what we're after. Him, not the glory, not the giftings, him. And when we press into him and just show up as kids, we get the goods. That's all second. He's first. And so oftentimes I see people, "I ain't got the giftings," but they lack the nutrients of the love of the Father, which grow the giftings. So, John 10:1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." You know, when he showed me that scripture, I really saw, you know, we have to come through Jesus. Any other way is counterfeit. It's black and white. And so some seers get stuck in the trap of the enemy. You know, the enemy's job is to deceive us. They only see darkness and enemy stuff. I'm going to tell you this. If you're only seeing, if you're a seer and you're only seeing dark stuff, you're missing it. Don't stay in darkness. Develop the gift. Ask the Holy Ghost to show you His kingdom, to show you the angels, to show you how to operate out of the gifting that He put in you. See, the enemy wants you only to see darkness. You're missing. It's like you're limping in the spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit why you are seeing what you see, and ask Him to teach you the fullness of the gift and how to operate and use the gift for His glory. There is protocol in this. Always check in and ask the Holy Spirit first. Most often you are seeing, so you have direction on how to pray. When you see something not good, respond in love and be gentle. God is not into shaming people. His heart is always love and compassion. Seers that are overbearing or pushy need to train themselves to gear back and learn how to dial into God's frequency of peace. Bold in authority is not the same as emotionally charged or emotionally led. There is a difference. I suggest the set on emotional wholeness and getting free, staying free. These teachings help you to manage your emotions and also lead you into self-deliverance. They're over there, getting free, staying free. Get it online. I was there when Holly taught these. It's a way of self-delivering. We are all to be self-delivered. We're supposed to, you know, no one else is going to do it for you. You got to show up. You got to check in and come to class with the Holy Ghost and clean out the garbage from the past. I don't know what that's about. Oh, sometimes I see this in my church, I see this in my pastor, I see this in my family. You know, you see this stuff. Oftentimes we see it so we can pray it through. Pray it through. It's not to correct the person. It's not to direct them. It's to pray it through. When you pray it through, you're actually unhooking the spiritual forces. And a great set is Effective Prayer, the Key to Victory. Wonderful set. Life-changing. There's a way in the spirit to change things. Before we get to this, we have to have true relationship, friendship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. He will guide you. Bring your questions to Him. He has the answer or the steps to take, the turns you need to do to change the course. Our voice is in our prayer closet is a weapon of warfare. Did you hear me? Yeah. Our voice in our prayer closet is a weapon of warfare. Huge. Getting a committee together to deal with the issues you see is not the answer. He told me that. Someone needs to hear that. Getting a committee together to deal with the issues you see is not the answer. The answer is our voice in our prayer closet is the weapon of warfare. There is a trust that is being built, okay? You know, you're learning this. He's watching. I'll never forget the day. Now, I had huge trust issues with the Lord. I didn't trust Him. How can you trust somebody you can't see? I could see the Spirit, but I couldn't see Him, and I wasn't trusting Him. And what happened was I had to develop trust, and it took time. And I'll never forget the day when He said that He could trust me. I was, like, shocked. I'm like, I didn't think there was a problem. How blind could I have been? So I'm telling you, you know, how blind can we be at times? So really, develop. If I have anything to say, develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have your heavenly language, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't leave here tonight without Him. He will help you. He's a Spirit of truth. He's a comforter. He leads and guides us into all things. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions? Go easy on me. Okay, we're done. No. Yeah, go ahead. No, not at all. No, her faith. She had faith. Yeah, she wasn't a glory junkie or stealer. You know, she tried all the natural ways. She was desperate. And she's like, if, You know, she actually saw it ahead of time. You know, she was just, she's actually a great picture of how you should come to a meeting or a seminar or, you know, she had determination. She wasn't leaving without what she wanted. You know, she had her list. Okay, I want healing. I want this. Lord, I want to seek your face. You know, sometimes we're so casual in our, you know, I'm just going to go to a meeting tonight. Nothing on TV or let me see what God's got. You know, in my early days and still my days now, I was like, Lord, I'm coming to meet you. I'm coming to seek your face. I'm going to worship you. Lord, help me get there no matter what. You know, I was determined, and it's similar to the lady with the issue of blood. She had a plan, and she was going after it against every neighbor, demonic force, laws, told her she couldn't touch, you know, she was unclean. She shouldn't even have done that. She could have been stoned. You know, that's a woman who was after her healing, and she received her faith. Healed her. But the Lord felt virtue leave. He felt the healing power leave. That's different. We often feel that, you know, when you release healing, you can feel it leave. And you can feel it when it comes into your body, too. So, absolutely not to her. She was actually a great example. Yes, John?
Let's say a person here doesn't want to leave without the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or getting the gift of tongues. How would you guide them along to possibly do that on their own at home or whatever, or do it here? What would you do?
I would just say, you know, I think I want that. I'd be talking to the Lord, or I'd be like talking to myself. I'd say, I think I want that. I don't know what that is, but I think I want that. And Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I don't know who you are, but I want to know you. Come into my heart. Kind of similar to when we said yes to Jesus. You know, the good news is too good to be true. Really? A man died for me? Same thing. So, you know, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you're not, we can do a prayer out loud. Sometimes there's barriers, you know, like religion, you know, or false teachings that prevent people from wanting the full measure. But, you know, if you were baby water sprinkled, baptized, that's not the same thing. And so why don't we just say a prayer and then, you know, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for everything you're doing in our hearts tonight. Lord, we love you. And we want everything that Jesus died for us to have. You know, he had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. He said, I'm sending you the Spirit of Truth. I'm sending you the Comforter. Don't leave without him. And so, Lord, we want the Spirit of Truth. We want the Comforter. We invite him into our heart right now. Come into our heart right now. Holy Spirit, come. Come into our heart right now. We say yes to you. We yield completely to you. Take up residency in us, Lord. Holy Ghost, take up residency in us right now. I want to know you. I want to know your ways. I yield my ways. I yield them completely to you right now. Your ways are better. I know it. I know it by faith. Override my free will right now. If there's a block or a hindrance or a false teaching, I ask you to come and fill me right now with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, I believe you've received the Holy Spirit. I believe you received a package tonight that will change your life, that will give you life, will point you to truth always,
amen.
Will guide you. You're never alone again. If you've got the Holy Spirit and it's the middle of the night and you wake up and you think you're going to be lonely, you're not, because you've got the Holy Ghost. He never sleeps. You just say, Holy Spirit, what you doing? Start talking to him like you would talk to a person and want to learn what they're like. Tell me what you're about. What do you like to do? Teach me who you are, and you watch. He'll teach you. And you'll be like amazed because it's true. Amen? Yes?
There's a difference between the Holy Spirit that you hear and God's voice that you hear?
Yes, for me, yes. The three are distinct. Yes. Sometimes when I was first hearing the voice of God, I thought it was God, but it was really the Holy Ghost. Now they all point to Jesus. You know, the Holy Ghost points to Jesus. Jesus points to the Father. But I now, because I've heard the voice of all three and know all three in different ways, I know who's who when I am with them. Any other questions? Did you get blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Amen.